Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi and continuing coverage of the case against Karen Reed.
It's not going good for Karen. It's just not. And I don't know what parallel universe some people are living in where somehow this all looks good, but it's not looking good.
No.
We're going to be looking at a lot of pieces of testimony from day 10 in the trial of Karen Reed. Little snippets and also voicemails. Those got played today. Some extended ID discovery clips. Like, the thing is, it's so funny because that documentary is what is destroying Karen Reed.
She doesn't have a leg to stand on. And honestly, when this is all said and done, if we ever get a chance to talk to Alan Jackson, which I'm sure we won't, but never say never, I want to say to him, tell me your logic in allowing your client to do the interviews that she did. Tell me what you were thinking.
I don't know.
Where? Why? What happened in your brain that you went, this is a good idea?
Did he know about it? Or I don't know. I mean, was this something Yannetti was supposed to be keeping an eye on? But no, but Alan Jackson was in the damn doc. So
he was in it. He was talking.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't understand why they thought that this wouldn't backfire.
No. And there's a new extended cutout today from the doc where she's just can't stop talking.
Yeah.
And it's something that never made it to air. I'm surprised. Like, I don't know why some of these, like there's some key parts here that should have gone on the air.
I have an idea why.
They got an injunction against them and saying you can't air. I don't know. I mean, maybe there was something in place where it was like, you can't air this part, but you can air this part. I don't know. I mean, because even the parts that aired were horrible.
My theory is they're holding on to it for after the verdict and they're going to put out another special.
Oh!
But they've got more material.
That's probably true.
That's the broadcaster in me going, hold some of this material because, for ratings, we're going to use this later.
I think if you would have run it earlier, she would have had to have taken a plea deal.
Yes.
Because it's looking so horrible. And in this clip, we're going to take a look at some pieces of court today. And take a look at some clips that have come up. She literally talks about where I left him.
It's not good.
And then she talks about the location where she left him. It was like 50 feet to that flagpole. And he was like over. And then it's like, oh my God.
I almost feel like
yeah,
the defense should go, okay, let's just stop. Let's I mean, can they do a plea deal now? Like,
no,
it's too late.
It just contradicts everything she said, because she said that she saw him go in the house. And now the last thing I don't know what she's currently believing as of this second, but you can't have it both ways, Karen.
No,
you can't have it where the last time you saw him, which you clearly state was about where he died.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't have it. You saw him go stick his head in the door, or you saw him go in and then you sat there and you waited because you were getting pissed. Because if he died and you're sitting there in your car thinking that he went in and he's literally like, all you gotta do is turn your head, look out the window. There he is, dead in the lawn. Or in some sort of injured state.
Yeah.
I mean, none of this is adding up. And I don't know what the truth is, because Karen has lied every step of the way.
That's what it feels like.
It's not, it feels like, it is. When someone tells you one thing and then they say another thing about the exact same event,
mm-hmm.
that's called lying.
Yes.
It's not a mistruth or a misunderstanding or a mis... That's called lying.
Yeah.
And that's all it is. It's not rocket science here. My daughter came up to me and I said, you know, hey, what'd you do last night when you were at the movies? Oh, we went to the movies. We saw the Avengers and got some popcorn. Okay, great. And if I asked her again 3 weeks later, so that night you went to the movies, what'd you do? Oh, we walked around the mall and we just ditched the movie or something. Like, okay, well, one of those is a lie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not quite sure which one at that moment in time, but one of them is a lie because they both can't concurrently be real.
Right.
And that's what we're running up against with Karen. I don't have the definitive answer to what the hell actually happened because she said so many versions of it. And who knows if even like the reality isn't even any of these versions. I think it could be something far worse.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know that she knows what the truth is, but there are so many different versions because she was drunk when this happened. She has no idea what happened.
Well,
she wants to believe a narrative.
If we're playing the game that she has a lot of narcissistic traits, she's going to only present versions of this that put her in a good light.
Yeah.
So if there's a version of this, which there likely is, where she is not in a good light, that's what we don't know. I heard an interesting theory today, and I don't know. It's one I had not heard yet about this case. But it was actually my therapist who brought it up to me. And
you were talking about Karen Reed.
It's funny, like half of my session is talking about the case because like when it actually we end up like, because I've had a lot of narcissists in my life, and it's once you've gone through that for many years of narcissistic abuse, it takes a long time to unpack that shit.
Yes, it does.
But you also become like a fucking canary in a coal mine or a bat that can see in the dark. You know, it's Narcdar. Is kind of what it is. And I got it. And she's repulsive. Like that is like, oh my God. And you know, the playbook they play by, you know what they do, you know how they're going to do it. You know how her mind is working, and it's so scary and it's dark and it's so self-centered, but they don't even realize they're doing it because it's just how they operate. This is how they think life works.
And you're getting really good at recognizing it.
And they're so absorbed in themselves that they think everybody acts like this. They think everybody operates this way.
Yeah.
And they don't take the moment to step back and go, maybe this is off. So she's all of
so
this,
I started,
all these
I
clips.
Called them. I didn't want to wait for
her to respond
to a text.
Sometimes it's weird on me.
Well, because she's a narcissist, of course.
We're talking about her, and then suddenly she just starts playing automatically.
And he didn't answer.
We're going to play those in a second. But you just, it's like almost triggering. I don't really get triggered by much, but I'd say it gets me rattled. I just like want to scream to everybody, like, look at this.
Yep.
That's why I'm so obsessed with like explaining this and not just like, she's a bitch or this or that. Although I did call her that the other day after she was laughing about drunk driving.
I'm okay with that.
But I'm more so in this to help people identify this type of behavior in people that they know or if people that they meet in life, because there's a lot of them out there. They're everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere you want to be. Remember Visa? Narcissists. Yes. Everywhere you want to be.
But I think too, don't most humans have the ability to act this way?
Yes,
Some people can keep it in check.
We all have narcissistic traits. Every single one of us do. But there's a line that you go over where it's not just a trait. It's literally a personality style. It's a pathology of how you work. And that's different. Now, I'm not a doctor. I can't diagnose the woman. All I can say is it sure looks like she has a lot of traits that go that direction.
She's checking a lot of boxes.
She's checking a lot of boxes for things even more than that. But I don't know. I can't diagnose her. Who knows? But I can only go off of what we see. And the actions, the words very much line up. Anyway, back to what I was saying before. About the injuries on John O'Keefe's arm. I'm going to pull this up over here real quick.
Boy, the picture you're showing now is really more graphic than I think I've seen.
The top one is the one that wasn't like filtered down. This is like the more filtered. I think it's like from probably a TV or something in a screenshot. This one up here is just more raw.
Yeah, literally, it looks detailed. Very painful. It looks like road rash.
Well, yeah, it looks like scraping in some areas, especially with the extra lines there. But there's the harsh lines on there, and
they almost look like fingernails. Like,
actually, I should point because you're over there.
Yeah,
that's exactly what I did today. So we're talking the case and,
oh my God,
she said to me, yeah.
Oh my God. If you take your hand up to it, it's almost like you can see an index finger,
yeah,
a middle finger, a ring finger. Oh my God.
She said, I wish they would have checked under her fingernails for DNA.
Oh my God.
Now, again, this doesn't mean she killed him.
No.
This just means that there was some sort of argument in the car and there was some sort of scuffle, allegedly. And, you know, she might have been holding on to him to, you know, I don't want you to leave. And then he gets out. She's real pissed because he got out of her grip, throws it in reverse. And John's dead.
Wow.
So, I mean, let me put it down here to be like more on my screen, to be about the size of what this actually is. And let me just try and get somewhere on here.
It's
So this is about, I mean, he was a bigger guy, so I would imagine his arm's probably in that level of size. I can zero it down a little bit.
Yeah, it's startling because, you know, and we don't know that that's what happened, but no. Looking at it, I worked in the veterinary field for 8 years. To me, that doesn't feel like a dog did that.
No, this feels like a Karen hand did this.
It looks like
nails.
A human hand.
Does she have
long nails?
I don't know, but they're not deep. These are not deep.
No, those are very superficial.
These are very
wounds.
Superficial. The only places where it looks a little more deep is like up over here and there. But he did have the head injury. So if there was something where he got struck in this general vicinity and then it went to the head, I could see that being from more up there. And some of these deeper ones too. This looks more like someone's holding on to him.
With almost a death grip and they get away. And you slice them because your nails...
Not even like, I don't think so.
He was wearing like a hoodie, right?
Yeah.
But now I'm wondering
I don't know. Just a theory. Just a thought.
I don't, Tony, I don't know if you could do that through a hoodie.
Well, who knows? Maybe he had his sleeves up at the moment. I mean, he was in the car. They had the heat on.
This is his forearm, correct?
This would be...
Not his upper arm. There are some scratches above the elbow.
This is his right forearm. And my... Yeah. Yeah, so that would be... So he'd be over here. Okay, so you got... Because I was trying to figure this out. Because my first thought was, if this is on the left side,
mm-hmm.
well, then it's right there. It's easy access for Karen.
Especially if she's driving, yeah.
But think about the situation. So Karen would be like over here. So she's here. Her right arm.
In the driver's seat.
Okay. John's over here.
She turns.
She turns. He turns.
Then they're facing each other and you're she could have access to that arm.
And if you're trying to hold somebody back, you're going to go for the right. You're going to go for, the, I mean, I think naturally you would because they're leaning at and you're going to kind of reach out and then.
That's the side that would be moving toward the door. So if you're trying to stop him from getting out of the vehicle,
so if John's over here,
fight,
her arm is going at, I mean, it's like right where that, like that grip would likely be too.
Interesting.
It would have been interesting to check for DNA under Karen's fingernails.
Yeah.
But at that moment, nobody is thinking this is like homicide type situation.
No.
So I don't know. I never heard that one before. I went out of therapy going, shit, I'm talking about that today. So I don't know. Debunk me. I don't know that this is just a theory.
But an interesting theory that we haven't heard yet.
Well, I mean, it's just a theory. It does play into the timeline of anger. I mean, if she was that angry, and we heard those voicemails, and we will hear more again in just a little bit, of how angry she was.
He was pissed.
That sounds like someone who, would have the propensity to do that, somebody's arm. I mean, not even like on purpose. I think she's, just death grip, and then he slides away and gets out of it. She's pissed because he got out of the car after her holding it. And then again, all allegedly, all just theory here. He's heading towards the house with his drink. She throws it in reverse to try and say something else to him or to get his attention. And maybe this is where the clip happens.
Yeah.
Wow. But you had like coagulated pieces of blood in the yard, underneath the snow and stuff. So.
Was he bleeding profusely before he was ever hit?
I don't know the answer to that. I mean, that's where they go into like the fight. Oh, this isn't. No.
Yeah.
A lot of possibilities here. I wonder what else was in Karen's car. I mean, they seized it. Or they looked at it, so I'm sure they would have, if there was anything in there. But it looks like, I mean, I don't know. It could be straight from the vehicle. I wonder, if they had the broken glass out there.
Mm-hmm.
And my thought was always, did he just drop it, or did he chuck it at the back of the car? Like, hey, you're coming at me, or like, hey, wake up,
Yeah.
You hit me, or did she chuck it at him?
Boy.
I don't know. I mean, it makes you wonder a little bit more about exactly what went on that night, because you have to assume, again, anything that she said, even the 42 versions of it, none of those are probably accurate. It's going to be something worse than every version that she said.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my conjecture on understanding people like this. So let's watch a little bit of testimony from today. Actually, we're going to watch some of these clips here. This is, take the John O'Keefe arm down.
So, yeah, that's it looks painful. I mean, if you've ever had a scrape on your arm, that just, ugh.
But it looks like hands. It looks like, doesn't look like claws. Looks like fingernails. And again, I don't know if she had fingernails at the time. That'd be a good, I wonder if there's any photo. I don't know. I mean, she would have, they mugshotted her and every, but that was a little bit after. So I don't know. I do not know the answer to that, but it's a little interesting. A little interesting.
It is.
Let's take a look at some of the action that was played in court today. Let's go to this one here. This is initially.
One more, please, Your Honor. The Commonwealth
prosecution.
Sir, you've got to be kidding me.
Come on.
One more, please, Your Honor. The Commonwealth moves into evidence and seeks to play clip number 17, please.
Okay.
Gave an interview with ABC with Matt Gutman. I think this was whom I gave the interview to, and I said, he asked, why was I saying, could I hit him, did I hit him? And I said, yeah, my first thought was, I've been out late, I've been drinking, and he's in the general vicinity of where I last saw him. I mean, they talk about the left side of the...
He's in the vicinity of where I last saw him.
Oh, boy.
So you didn't see him go into the house then, did you?
Right. Which she said she saw him go in the house.
Yeah.
You know, Hammersmith Farms. It's a postage stamp. It's 50.
Oh, of course we're going to buffer right this second.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's the internet. It's what it does.
So he's in the front yard. To the left of the front door, and no one's coming out of the house. Jen's telling me nobody's seen him. So I'm thinking, Jesus, was I starting to pull away and I ran over his foot? Like, he's roughly where I left him. So yeah, when I found him, I was thinking, did I like clip him somehow?
Yeah.
Why would you ever think that you hit him?
So that doesn't look good.
No.
Yeah. Well, exactly. I mean, when it comes down to it, why would you ever think you hit him? That's the part that, again, does not make any sense at all.
I mean, when somebody is missing, is your first thought, did I hit them with my car?
No.
And they're passed out and possibly dead?
No.
Especially this guy that you've made reference to him cheating on you.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to think he's shacking up with the chick down the street that's got the big boobs. That's what you're going to think.
Yeah.
You're not going to think I clocked him with the back of my car and he's dead.
Karen seems to think that. Let's, I think I can play this again. Is this the same thing?
Ugh.
One more, please, Your Honor. The Commonwealth moves into evidence.
It's not going
to
buffer.
Play.
This one's downloaded.
Clip number 17, please.
Okay.
Gave an interview with ABC with Matt Gutman. I think this was whom I gave the interview to. And I said, he asked, why was I saying, could I hit him, did I hit him? And I said, yeah, my first thought was, I've been out late, I've been drinking, and he's in the general vicinity of where I last saw him. I mean, they talk about the left side of the property and the right as if it's, you know, Hammersmith Farms. It's a postage stamp.
So then she even talks about how big the yard is on the left side and the right side. So she's very clear that she saw him on the left side of the yard, not where the door is. So it's bullshit that she saw him go through the door.
And again, she was drunk. How do you have this kind of recollection of someplace that you haven't been before? Okay.
So she saw him in the yard last, by Karen's own admission. And then doesn't just leave it at that, describes the yard and the right side and the left side. And if he's in the vicinity of where she saw him last, it was not by the door.
She's very specific.
If she left that part out, you could have a little conjecture of like, well, you know, she's saying it's not big. So, you know, it really could be anywhere. She's talking specifically about that area, which is why she went right to it.
Yes.
In the morning.
She knew exactly where it was.
She knew he was there. Now, did she know he was injured or dying or dead? I don't know the answer to that. But I don't know. If my significant other were stumbling around looking like they might be dying or laying on the grass in a snowstorm starting, I probably wouldn't speed away.
Unless you're shit-faced drunk and you're just got in a fight and you kind of don't care.
And you kind of don't care and you can't be accountable for anything. And when you, like, suddenly, oh, shit, accountability hit her in the face. So she's feeling that buildup of just tense.
Like, did I screw up?
Like the feeling that you feel when you see your kid at a restaurant and they got a cup at the end of the table and then they're waving their hands around and all of a sudden you see that hand go and it's just, and you couldn't move it quick enough and your stomach just drops because now that cup's about to fly over to that group of nuns sitting at the table next to you and they're in full garb. And that,
because the nuns are hanging out at Red Lobster like they always do.
Is Sharkleberry Finn Kool-Aid. And that shit stains. Stains pink.
And then their suddenly, habits are all stained,
suddenly
man.
You have pink nuns and your stomach just drops. Okay, that's my analogy.
But I want a day in your life. I really do.
It's just a lot of random
just
shit.
Just one day. I don't want more than one day. But just give me one day.
You're here every day with me.
The minute you wake up to the minute you go to sleep, what happens during your day?
It's just like the motor goes. Just, whoa. Okay, here we go. So it's that feeling that most of us would feel in some moment like that. It's like, oh, shit. But, you know, you'd probably go over to the nuns and apologize. Offer to buy them maybe a Rudy Tooty Fresh and Fruity, or give him a coupon, you know, for Denny's.
Right.
Or is that IHOP? I don't know. Maybe a Bloomin' Onion, something that, you know, the nuns might appreciate. It's shareable. There's six sisters there. They could probably get that onion down, a little sauce.
Because nuns like the Bloomin' Onion.
I don't know. Maybe. Do you speak for nuns?
I don't. I don't.
Do you know? Were you there?
No.
Pulling a Laurie Daybo. So that feeling comes over her. And when you're a child and you think infantile, you sometimes don't want to take accountability. Oh, God.
Yeah.
You know, and you run away from it because you can't contemplate. Because this over here completely contradicts your version of yourself and who you want people to think you are.
Yeah.
And that's how people like that live. And it's not even about themselves. It's not even like about themselves because they're already really sad human beings on the inside, but it's all about what people perceive of them. And suddenly you see, oh my God, if I get caught for this, my image over here is gone. I'm the guy that killed the guy everybody loves, John O'Keefe. So in that instant, as an adult, you go, you wouldn't even be thinking about this shit. If you're an adult, you're just going, oh my God, something happened. I got to go help him. Not let's figure out what actually happened at that moment. At that moment, it's figure out how to help that person.
Yeah.
But a lot of us grow up and then that sort of thinking, you know, it leaves us, you know, to get little nuggets of it here and there. Sure. But it's not how you operate as a human, healthy human being. If you as a healthy human being see someone in distress, suspect they're in distress or something, especially someone you care about, and you don't go and help them, and there's no immediate danger to you. It wasn't like there's a train coming down the tracks. There wasn't lightning. She could have got on her car and helped him. But then that still would have meant she's still a bad person. There was no options for her to take that would not have destroyed what she wants her image of herself to be to everybody else. So she panics and she takes off out of there and probably has some thoughts of guilt, probably like, you know, a bit. And when I say guilt, I don't mean guilt how we feel it. More like guilt of like, why did this happen to me? That sort of guilt. And when that goes on, it, you know, you kind of go haywire. And I'm thinking that's probably what happened. She had knowledge of it. She was pretty blackout drunk. So there's probably only bits and pieces of us of this that she remembers, and only bits and pieces of all those emotions that she remembers. But if she's operating in that sort of infantile way, which she probably does on a regular, but with all that alcohol, shit, then you're really regressing. Then, you know, this, you know, you think of drunk people, they start at, like, really drunk people, they get real emotional, like toddlers and all sorts of shit. So she's very much, her brain is primed to operate on about a 7-year-old level. She ran away from the accident. Couldn't handle it. Couldn't handle what that would mean about who she is. That's my theory. That's my theory. If you break down what the hell's going on in her mind, because it's so easy to go, she's a bitch, she's a horrible person. Da, da, da. Let's figure out why. Let's figure out how this brain is working. So that's my take on it. Anyway.
I feel like she's going to have a lot of time to figure out how her brain works.
Well, the thing is with most of these people, they're a lost cause. They never fix. They're incapable of fixing it. It's so ingrained. That's why you don't ever really hear very much about, you know, I'm a recovering narcissist or a recovering borderline or something like that. They don't exist. I mean, yeah. And I mean, somebody's like, well, I know someone who does. Well, look, there's few, but it's a spectrum as well. And if you're far down that spectrum, there ain't no coming back. If you're on the lighter end, there might be some hope. You can do some learned behavior. And there is some other techniques for borderlines that is rather interesting. I forget what it's called, but it's new. Anyway, back to this. And again, all of that, conjecture, opinion, not fact. Let's take
an interesting theory.
Yeah. Okay, so that was her basically telling everybody where she last saw him.
What are you doing? You just...
This is another clip.
You walked up the driveway,
show.
And John always walked, kind of skipped and walked at the same time. He was always in a rush. And I saw him reach the breezeway door, and I waited probably a minute, and he doesn't come. And it only took like 2 or 3 minutes that for me to be irritated. So I started... I called him. I didn't want to wait for him to respond to a text, and he didn't answer. I said, you've got to be kidding me. What are you doing? You just went in and I'm sitting here. Either we're welcome or we're not, but it shouldn't take you 5 minutes to determine that. And then about 10 minutes went by and I left and I was not happy. But little did I know, John was not getting my phone calls. And then that was it. The last I ever talked to him was when he got out of my car at Brian Albert's house. He walked up the driveway, and John always walked.
Notice her eyes get really big and her tone goes up when she's making shit up.
Yeah, her voice definitely changes.
It goes
her
higher.
Her demeanor changes.
And it gets a little, like, nervous laughter to it, too. It's that Karen laugh that is so deplorable, where it's this weird laughter at insanity or really bad behavior. Because, it's... You got to think, doing the opposite, something horrible over here is going on. What's the opposite of that? Laughter. So she doesn't want anybody to see the horrible. So she's going to present as the opposite, literally laughing.
Yeah.
Which is why she's laughing about drunk driving, why she's laughing about how she wasn't quite with it. Because it's showing what she doesn't want people to see in her. And if she kind of passes it off as, ha ha, maybe you will too. Oh, that's cute, Karen. You're saying you're not being reckless and you just had 10 drinks and you're driving around drunk. Nothing could happen bad there, right? Nah. Because the night ended well. And we're just talking about this here, these years later, people that don't know you, because nothing happened because you weren't being reckless at all. Ha!
Yeah, it just feels really icky. If you were sitting with somebody talking about this, it doesn't feel appropriate to giggle or have this laugh.
No,
or,
John always.
I want to see. You know what? As a woman, I'm.
Either we're
I don't know that I can speak for all women, but I want to see her upset.
It's snowing. John has.
What's your crying? This is her boyfriend who died.
At the foot of the driveway, it's snowing.
Here's another take on it.
At the foot of the driveway, it's snowing. John has no coat.
And
no coat
buffer.
On. It's windy, so I drop him off. He goes up the driveway and approaches the side door. And as I see him,
you can take in all the words and let it simmer.
Approach the door. I look down at my phone. At the foot of the driveway, it's snowing. John has no coat.
Oh, that was
on.
It, really.
It's windy, so I drop him off. He goes up the driveway and approaches the side door. And as I see him approach the door, I look down at my phone. At the foot of the driveway, it's snowing. John has no coat on. It's windy.
She's just looping.
It's just looping, yeah. It's like one of those, like, oh, did I already see this?
Yeah, you did say that.
Yeah. Oh, and here's what she said to Dateline, too.
Her.
It's for good measure.
To the front door of the house?
Yes.
Did you see him go in the house?
Yeah, I saw him approach the front door. I see him open the door. And put his head inside her.
Goes to the front door of the house?
Yes.
Which is bullshit.
And then about 10 minutes went by.
So I want to close this window because it's going nuts on me. Okay, let me pull us back up on the camera over here. And by the way, if you're listening to this, you can certainly watch us on YouTube and see all of this as well as we try to figure out how to get the cameras in frame for the shots. It's just more difficult when it's in a browser window. So there you go. There's more to come in the case of Karen Reed on day 10. Voicemails, everybody. Voicemails. Press subscribe. Let us know in the comments what you think about all of this. We got a lot in on this show, from the arms scratched to all this. Yeah. Tell me in the comments your thoughts. We will talk again real soon.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. You just made it through an episode of Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Congrats on surviving the ads. Want to skip them completely next time?
What is that?
Join the True Crime Today Premium Plus channel on Apple Podcasts. Ad-free episodes, exclusive early access, and no interruptions. Just pure crime storytelling. Try it free for 3 days. Don't wait.
Bitchin' stuff. Dude.
Hit subscribe now on Apple Podcasts and get ahead of the mystery.
You know what I'm saying?
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
With a $5 meal deal with new McValue. You pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal, $6 in some markets for a limited time only.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Lowe's knows laundry day should be easy. Achieve maximum versatility with a dryer door that swings open either way, making load transfer from washer to dryer a breeze. Plus, with LG ThinQ, save time by controlling your washer remotely. Shop LG, America's most reliable line of home appliances, today at Lowe's. Based on independent reliability surveys 2021 to 2024 and select major appliances as compared to competing manufacturers offering full appliance lines. See associate for more details. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, exclusions apply. Valid 6/18 through 7/9.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.